All right, you ready?
We've done it 100 times. It's okay. The same as usual.
Welcome to the Hoot and Holler podcast, where we seamlessly blend unprofessionalism and professionalism like oil and water.
Every time.
I'm Candace, because that's what my mama named me. But on Instagram, I'm known as Dabs of Candy. And she's
Whitney. My mom originally named me Nikki, but I'm Whitney.
Whoa, push pause, time out. What happened?
I was just hearing this. She wanted to name me Nicole and call me Nikki. I feel like it would have changed my whole personality.
I think so. I don't like that.
But I'm Whitney now.
Okay. Well, I can take that.
I identify as a Whitney.
Or the artist formerly known as.
Yes. Darling Nikki.
No, and I am a good Prince reference.
I know, right? Okay, and I'm Whit Sparkleshine on the thingies.
On all the medias of things
and such.
We have another great episode today. I have been anticipating this episode since we decided we was going to talk about this, y'all. Oh my goodness. We're going to talk about later on about the Netflix, I guess, documentary, you could say, Abducted in Plain Sight. It's a lot to unpack.
Which is from 2017, but we're just now watching
it. I just learned about it. I told her about it, and we're going to talk about it in great depth. I have quite a few notes and things that are of concern to me. Anyway, so since you're on the interwebs, and why are you following Dabs of Candy and why are you following with Sparkle Shine, make sure you follow Hoot and Holler Podcast on all social media platforms. Please. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTokles, at Hoot and Holler TV. That's H-O-O-T. The letter N, H-O-L-L-A, TV. And also,
such as behind us.
right behind us. And it's on the screen, too. Yeah. Anyway, and if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast app, make sure you go to YouTube and watch it, because it's so much better to see our faces than just hear our voices. But you do what you want to do. We're not going to, you know, infringe upon your freedoms to do that. But if you're on YouTube, make sure you follow, like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. The more followers we get, the more content we create, and the more people see us and know about us, and the more we'll be in your face.
And maybe pay off one day.
Maybe. We might get paid for it one day. Anyway.
Today's episode
is sponsored by
Ibuprofen. Turning ouch into oh yeah since 1969.
Is that a real thing?
It is.
Wow. Okay, never do that.
Without it, we couldn't get in the get out of bed in the mornings. And who needs a liver anyway? It's going to be fine.
Just toss that. We don't need that. Our bodies come with extra
parts.
Our
liver isn't in pain. Yeah. It's just not functioning. But it's all good.
So if you're on those step stools that we talked about last week, and that going up and down is getting to you, pop you an ibuprofen and turn that ouch into oh yeah. So we have a couple segments today. Our first segment is I Got a Question. And my wonderful co-host has a question that she would like to ask the class. Go ahead with it.
These are things that pop into my mind late at night.
First, lay it out and tell them what the American version is, and then ask your question.
So as Americans, you all know, you go to a website and it'll say, do you accept cookies? On this website.
All the time.
We use this to save certain info so you can come back here and not have to put it back in. I like cookies. My question is, do British people have to accept biscuits or cookies?
That's a great question. I never thought of it. If it was my choice, yes.
Biscuits.
Quite certainly, yes. You must accept biscuits. Or sweet tea and crumpets.
I would love a crumpet.
But in the USFA, we accept cookies. And I've yet to receive one cookie. And I don't know who I need to talk to.
Keep hitting buttons.
I've accepted at least 20 cookies in the last month. Yep. At least.
Not a Girl Scout cookie.
Mm-mm. Not a animal cracker. Nothing. Man. Which they are cage free, by the way.
Now, I know. Cage free
animal crackers. Thank you. For that, because that was
the world was terrible until we're they a better freed. Place
because of you guys.
Yes, we're free of P.T. Barnum's reign.
So you learned something interesting this past week because your mind was in wonder. Of what this was. So our next segment is Let Me Tell You. Will we inform you guys of things that you may know and some things that you may not know.
May never have cared about or never thought about.
But guess what? We care. And so we're going to share.
And we have random information.
So you wanted to know, where did guinea pigs come from? And it's a great question. Because does it come from New Guinea?
No.
Dang it.
I've never seen. That would
have been my first choice.
I don't know. I saw one on like a YouTube short or something and I'm like, where do they come from? Well, I've never seen one out in the wild. I don't go out here in the field and there's just guinea pigs roaming around. Like, where are they coming up with it? Like, where did they come from? So apparently they were in the Peruvian mountains in that whole area. And we started getting them and taming them and keeping them for pets. And now they're extinct in the wild now.
Wow.
We just keep multiplying them and selling them to kids to kill slowly.
Should lift them things right up in the mountains. That's the most hideous thing. Why would you want that as a pet?
I don't know.
That's just for me now. I mean, I ain't knocking nobody.
They're cute.
If that's what you want to do, if you want to keep rats. A large rat in your room, that is your business. As for me in my house, we don't do that.
They're like potato-shaped hamsters with better haircuts. They're just bigger.
I guess. I think I would have spent my money elsewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, while we're giving you, you know, great information, we have a real quick tip for you today. And that quick tip is never, ever, under any circumstance,
ever
cook bacon naked.
Never.
Because there will be regrets.
Yes.
Just telling you.
Our tip for the day.
Yeah, that's our learn, tip.
Learn from real life. I know that is
going to be very impactful for your lives. And you can now be great.
Yes.
So now. For the main event.
I wanted to do a drum roll, but I'm trying not to hit the table.
Oh, you can. This is a drum roll. Go ahead.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. Abducted in Plain Sight. Netflix series, like she said, that came out in 2017.
Came out.
You know what I was trying to say. I told y'all I can't talk. It is what it is. You're going to have to look over me. Anyway. So how I found it, because it's not like it was in, you know, like you on Netflix and, you know, trending, suggested. Top 10 and all that. And even though I had Netflix in 2017, I don't remember this.
I don't either.
I really don't. I think it maybe flew on the radar. I don't know how. I do not know how.
Because it is nuts.
Because once you hear this story, you're going to be like, I should have heard about this. And you're darn right you should have. But I was listening to a comedian's podcast, and they brought it up as a subject. And I think it was an older episode, so I don't even know what year that they was talking about this. But anyway, so I was like, okay, you've piqued my interest because this sounds crazy. This surely cannot be real. This has got to be the comedian, you know, embellishing for content.
Yeah.
They weren't. They 100% were not doing such a thing. So
she watched it and told me about it.
Yes.
And then we've told everybody we know about it.
It's like, y'all have got to watch these crazy people. I don't understand. Oh. I am so frustrated with them.
It's insanity.
It's like, you know, when they say that some people shouldn't be parents.
These people should not be. They
are host of children.
Oh, my God.
You shouldn't be
a parent. Oh, my God.
Matter of fact, if you watch that, what's the other show with the prank calls? Or not prank calls, but the calls to the McDonald's.
Oh my God. Don't pick up the phone.
Don't pick up the phone or something like that on Netflix. These has got to be these people's cousins.
Has to be. If y'all haven't watched that one, you need to. I think it's just don't pick up the phone.
It's just as mind boggling and not understanding how something like this can happen. Especially the other one, the don't answer the phone, just because I understand this particular story that we're talking about today is happening in '76. So there weren't resources that there was when the McDonald's things happened. It's like, the cell phone wasn't smartphone era yet, but still, there were more resources.
Oh, yeah.
Far more resources than there were in 1976. And it's just, I don't understand how and why this happened.
I don't either.
So, this happened in Pocatello, Idaho. And if you're in Pocatello, Idaho, I am so sorry.
Yeah, because these people were your neighbors.
Because I got questions about all y'all.
Everybody.
Somebody sleeping with cousins over there. Yes. It got to be. Because it's the only reason that this could even happen. And so it's about the Broberg family, which consists of the dad, Bob, the mom, Marianne, the daughters, Jan, Karen, and Susan, and how they met another family who husband is Robert, they called him B, Birchtoe. And he's married with a wife.
And kids.
Has five kids.
Was it five? I missed that.
Yes. Five kids. And so Abducted in Plain Sight is just what it is. It is about a kidnapping. And it's going to expand from that. Yeah, but that's the basis of it. It's about a kidnapping. And the kidnapping involves these two families. It involves this Robert B. Birchtoe kidnapping one of the Broberg's daughters. Okay? So it starts out creepy, first of all. Because there is in between different talking points. There's these voice recordings of Robert, or I'm going to call him B, going forward.
Yeah.
Or Mr. Birchtoe. Of him. I don't know if he just like documented these things just for his.
I think so.
They never explain that, but they just drop them in.
Yeah. And is playing these recordings of him talking about.
Yeah. Talking about
one of the daughters. Not about, his. The neighbor's.
Yeah.
Daughter.
Talking about one of the Broberg family daughters. So he's so the daughter that he kidnaps is Jan, and she's the oldest of the three daughters, and the voice recording is him describing basically it's like a love poem about Jan.
He's like describing her as a woman, and this girl is only 12.
She's 12
at the time,
this happened in 19. Well, they meet him in 1972, but anyway.
That's what I was going to say. I had 72, but this is a few years later.
But this is how they started out. And I mean, like I said, he's making like a love poem.
And he's got a nickname for her. He calls her Dolly.
Calls her Dolly. So he's like, you know, Jan was beautiful and lively, and he walked up to her. And I guess this must be maybe his first like interaction with her, possibly.
Yeah, that's what I kind of gathered.
And because they don't really say, they just play it. And said he walked up to her and, you know, held her tight and she looked up at him and he bent down and looked at her and said that she was the little girl that he'd been searching for.
Yeah.
And it's and like, I'm
already you're like, I'm what? Like,
what in the world, guys?
Oh, my.
So they did cut to the Broberg family. I think maybe the bum first.
Yeah.
Or the dad, one of them. They're not together in a group setting. They all
have their individual
shots. And they're talking about how much they're loving family and all the, you know, all the glitz and sparkles that you would want.
Just
building up the stories. Like, we're a great family. You know, we had a wonderful childhood, the kids say. Marianne, the mom, met Mr. Birchtoe in 1972 at the LDS church that they attended. And, you know, met him, his wife, Gail, and their five children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if they clearly say it. Don't they live like down the street from them or something like that?
Basically across the road from each other is what I gathered. But I didn't know if they moved once he found Jan or
I don't know
if they were just neighbors don't really that didn't know each other.
No, they had seen them. She saw them at church and knew that she didn't recognize that family. And I gathered that they live within close proximity of
them.
Yeah,
they're on the same street, at least.
A block over at the very, very most.
Yeah.
And so Broberg family and the Birchtoe family become bonded immediately, almost. Like they the way one of the kids says is that, or the way Jan says that, everybody in her family kind of had a best friend in the Birchtoe family.
Yeah.
And she didn't say who was whose best friend or nothing like that. But I would assume that maybe the wife and the two wives kind of had some kind of rapport. And, the two men and the children, of course.
What stood out to me was I noticed it this time. I didn't notice it the first time I watched it. But she said that B started coming by every single night
Yeah.
Like on his way home from work or whatever, he would stop by and hang out for a while. And I'm like,
it's crazy.
First of all, like I have, like you can show up to my house anytime you want.
Right.
And I'm not going to, now I might be like, man, excuse the mess. It's terrible. But I'm not going to be like thinking anything weird of it. My kids love you. I love you. Whatever. But if you come over every single night and you start paying one of my kids a whole lot of attention and ignoring everybody else, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah. So Jayden describes B as the fun dad. Like they liked him to come over because he would play with the kids like and
play and wrestle and all and those do all kind the of things.
And by the way, the Broberg family had all girls. They had no boys. And I don't know what the situation was with Mr. Burstow's family, but they didn't say that. They don't really mention their kids.
They don't interview the kids. They don't interview Gail.
No.
None of them. I guess all of them just were embarrassed and didn't want to talk.
Well, I guess technically this is the Broberg story, you know. But anyway.
Yeah.
So after they get through all of that, then they go to another voice recording of B.
Oh,
and this is where it gets even more creepy. So the voice recording, he's describing an interaction that he had with Dolly. He doesn't say Jane. He says Dolly, which is one of, because she says that he had many nicknames, but Dolly was like his go-to.
Yeah.
And he telling them telling each other that they loved each other. And he proceeds to say that he put his arms around her and bent down and kissed her and says no man could love any woman more.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is a 12-year-old. What are you talking about?
Yes.
The heck?
That one was creepy.
And I'm like, oh my God. You know, so at this point, I'm like, man, if these parents find out.
They are blind.
This is going to be over.
How are they not seeing this?
It's like, you know.
Because, and what they keep saying throughout this whole thing, we didn't know what pedophiles were. We didn't know they existed.
Okay. I know. It was in the Stranger Danger era of things. But here's the thing. We have a grown man going to another house where there's children and interacting with those children when he has five of his own.
Yeah.
Down the road or across the street.
His children to play with your children.
So you're going out of your way to interact with another family's children. And this is a man with little girls. Not that it couldn't be a woman with little girls, because it could easily be that too. But still.
Either way, adult.
As an adult and spending time with little girls and no one says anything. Nobody's just nothing. Just
no
not,
alarms going
no
off.
Alarms, no red flags, no concerns at all.
Okay. But the parents keep talking about how charismatic he is and how he just makes everybody fall in love with him. And we'll get to that in a little bit.
So her mom comes in and says that he did give Jan special attention and that annoyed us.
Yeah.
And that fascination with her was a little disturbing. So why are you not cutting off communication?
Yeah. Why did we keep going? This whole documentary should have ended right there. Right there.
It wouldn't be no dang documentary.
In the first 15 minutes, it should have been done.
Gloria. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cut that off in the bud, okay?
Yeah.
He can push and pull it, okay?
Yes.
Because Candace coming about it now.
Yeah. Yep.
You going on, you over here too much.
Yeah.
We don't like company enough for you to be over there at night.
Yep.
At night. Yeah, I said it right. At night. that's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
So, if your mouth is dropped now, just keep listening. It gets better, guys. It really gets better. So they've had these interactions with him for about 2 years now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Met him in 72. It is now October 1974. And B calls Jan's mom, Marianne, and asks, could he take Jan horseback riding?
In the mountains or somewhere.
And somewhere.
Somewhere that's going to require like an overnight trip, right?
Not really overnight trip, but it's a good little distance.
Yeah.
It's a good little distance. It's not like a 15-minute drive. It may be like a 30, maybe 45-minute drive, okay? And then proceeds to pull up at her house. But the mom was like, no, it's a school night. Maybe we could do this another night.
Yeah, like and, she had piano lessons or something.
Yeah, but the next he was very persistent. And of course, when the child hears about this, oh, I want to go horseback riding. Yeah. Of course, 12-year-old want to go horseback riding. Yeah. So he's so persistent. He just said, you know what? I'll pick her up from her piano lessons and I'll take her straight there. And the only instructions that the mom gave was just have her back before her dad gets home.
Yeah. Have her back before dinner, basically.
And at that point, people, why are we not asking questions? Why? So who all going?
Yeah.
Because that's the first question my mom asked. Who all going?
Why is it just a grown man and one kid out of eight? Because he has five and they have three.
That ain't his, first of all.
That ain't his. His wife is not going. Her parents, because nobody's going.
Most parents don't want to be alone with a child that freaking long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But yep. If they're going to do it, they generally going to add other kids so the children can have fun.
And they you can go, entertain themselves.
They can entertain themselves. It pretty much is like carefree babysitting, you know, almost. Just make sure they don't kill themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And, but it's like, you letting him go alone. I don't care you've known
And you've before. Already said that you feel weird about
you
it.
Felt that you know that he likes this child in particular for whatever reason. And you have these feelings, this gut feeling, and you still allow this man to be alone with your child to go horseback riding.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
So Jan, they show her on screen and she talks about how she got in the car and he was like, here, take your allergy medicine.
Right. Which they like, which they later find out was sleeping pills.
Yeah.
It wasn't allergy medicine. But she's a child. She don't know.
Yeah.
You know, she, here, take these.
Your she mom said anytime they spent time alone. Your mom told me to give
you this, drink that.
Yeah.
And we're going to go. Okay.
Yeah. She said anytime that they were alone like that he would give her allergy pills.
Right. Right.
And she just thought that was what they were. They were.
Exactly. So. Whatever. She takes the pills and almost immediately she says that she's out. She don't remember the ride or anything other than getting in the car from her piano lessons, him giving her some sleeping pills, and her waking up pretty much. So I don't know what time that was in the day, but now it's 9 o'clock on this Thursday, school night. And they ain't nowhere to be found.
Yep.
Jan ain't home. They ain't heard from B. And so now Jan's mom is getting nervous. Now she's nervous.
It's about time.
Now she's nervous. It's 9 o'clock. My child's not back. I told him to be back. But I gave specific instructions to be back.
Yep.
By dinner before her daddy get here.
I hope something bad.
It's 9 o'clock. They ain't here. I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Now we're nervous. I just my patience is so short with them.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
It just keeps getting worse.
So you would think phone calls be had and things of that nature.
Yep.
And it was. They called
Gail.
She called Gail. Said, Gail, hey, I ain't heard from B. Got my baby. They went horseback riding. Where earlier today, 9 o'clock. Told him to be back. They ain't back.
Where they at?
Gail says, oh, they'll show up, darling.
It's fine.
Don't call
anybody.
They will show up.
They'll show up.
They let 2 days, 48 hours pass before they called the FBI.
No, 5 days.
No. It was 2 days.
Okay. Well, at one point they said five. I made a note.
No. Okay. No, I think it was
5 days before they found them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was from Thursday to Sunday. Sunday they finally called the FBI.
It was two days. We'll get there. It was 2 days before they called the FBI.
Man.
Okay. So the FBI starts their investigation trying to find what has happened. They find his abandoned vehicle.
Wait, hang on. What killed me was the FBI kept calling it a kidnapping, and they're like, it's not a kidnapping. It's our friend. And we told him that he could take her. It's not a kidnapping. And they're like, it's a kidnapping.
It's like, he got your baby. You don't know where he at. It's
kidnapping. Yeah, they had to keep telling him.
It's not like they're staying at the Holiday Inn. You have the address and telephone number and you're able to make contact. You're not able to make contact.
Yeah, this is kidnapping.
Your baby missing.
So it took them like all this time to even comprehend that it was a kidnapping.
I don't think they even fully comprehend. I don't think they ever comprehended it. Yeah. I really do not. I think in the back of their mind, there was something that said, no, he was just free. He just made a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so the FBI is investigating. They find his abandoned vehicle and notice that the windows are punched out, but they were punched out from the inside.
It was a very poorly executed crime scene. This is horrible.
So they put out a nationwide search for Jan and for B. They search for them for weeks. Weeks they look for them. Weeks. And the FBI is steadily investigating, trying to find them. And they find out that B has a history of having a thing for young girls. And it was funny and it wasn't funny, y'all. Oh, my God, his
brother.
It was funny and it wasn't funny because it is a sad situation.
It is.
But it was funny. His brother said, well, I always knew he was a sexual pervert.
Yes, yeah, it's so matter of fact.
Yeah, he's just like he's always been a pedophile. He always had little things for little girls. It's like
he's just so matter of fact and so blunt with it. Every time they interview him, he's like, "Yep, it's like POS.
This should have been the freaking person in charge."
Yes,
because he's the only one that's seeing this outside the FBI. Because the parents ain't seeing. I don't know what Gail doing with her life. Yeah. That was my biggest question through the whole thing.
Yeah,
what is going on over there at Gail's house?
Yeah. I wondered what it was like over there for her because
she must be like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know
if she was in denial.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, I would assume if he's had other dealings in the past that she had an idea. She may not know the full length or severity of the situation or what he was doing or what he was trying to accomplish or whatever. But I just feel like she knew this about him
to the
point that she was just stay quiet.
She was either an accomplice or a victim herself. Like he abused her and had her in her place where she was so terrified to say anything or go against him kind of deal. Or she knew about it, but she let it happen to other people's kids to keep it from happening to her kids.
Right.
So, one or the other.
So he definitely is textbook master manipulator.
Yes.
And he had a plan from the very time that he met Jan in this family.
Yes. Yes.
So they go back.
They keep going back and forth. They go back and forth. Thing.
So they go back to a few months after that Jan's mom originally meets Mr. Birchtold. And she tells a story about how he calls her out of the blue one day and tells her to bring him a sandwich because he wasn't going to be able to get lunch.
He's at work. And he calls her to do this.
Yeah. So she says, okay, I'll take you a sandwich. And I'm just going to tell you this.
Listen.
married. I ain't never been married. But I know one thing. You'll take a sandwich to another man that ain't your man.
Yes.
That's crossing all kinds of lines.
Yes.
And it may be
unless you were a waitress.
It could be very innocent. It really could be very innocent, but you just don't leave the door open for interpretation.
Yes. Yes. There is no way.
Lead us not into temptation. Don't open that door.
There is no way. If I would have found out that a woman called my husband and said, I'm at work and I'm hungry. Could you bring me some chicken nuggets? And this fool brought her chicken nuggets.
No, you wouldn't even bring me a daggone frosty the time that I asked you.
Yes.
But you taking her whole 10 piece?
Yes.
We got a problem.
It's over.
And you bought her two sauces?
You paid extra for the sauce?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. You can't tell me that didn't cause a fight.
It didn't, because these people
are stupid.
Stupid. Dumb. Gail is in the corner rocking back and forth. just crazy.
Oh,
so that
and then she goes on to tell.
Well, she says that wasn't the only time she did it. She done it. She said she did it on several occasions.
Yes.
And so
and that he made her feel good.
That helped gain her trust in him. He was planting the seeds early.
Well, and it also plants that shame. Because if there's that shame, I hold something over you.
Right.
And I wouldn't want this to get out. I want
the
world or
the little community to know.
So
yeah.
Now you're going to be more loyal to me as far as keeping any of my secrets. Right.
So he starts flirting with her and, paying her all these unsolicited compliments and made her feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Because apparently her husband doesn't tell her these things. Because if he did, he couldn't tell her that. just being honest. So, and she enjoyed every minute of it. And if you notice, I don't know if you notice this, while she was talking about this, because she had like a little smirk on her face. She had this delightful look on her face. Like
she's like
reminiscing back. It was like, that was a good time.
Yes, exactly.
That was a good time in my life.
Exactly. B must have been good in bed is all I'm saying.
Well, at that time, they hadn't had a sexual relationship. They had kissed and they had hugged and they had a little touchy-feely on the little church trip. But they hadn't actually went the distance.
But next.
So, like I said, now B has the trust of the mom. So now he's got to, of course, get the dad somewhere on board to help put his plan fully in motion. And this is when I had to pause the TV. Because I just know this just did not happen.
I know, like, what? I had to, look, I missed so much the first time I watched this because I'm not the type to yell at the TV. I was home alone watching this, and I was yelling at the TV so much. I kept having to pause it.
Yeah.
I missed so much that I saw the second time that I watched it because I'm just like, what?
The fluency of curse words that I see.
Yes. I'm trying not to say them now. Man.
Because they was deep in my spirit after watching that part. Man.
So.
So I know you're wondering what we're talking about. So
go ahead. So B comes to the dad's work one day and he says, and Bob the dad says, I'm just so I could tell he was just frustrated and angry and flustered and just all over the place.
And he said that B was very knowledgeable of in the sexual field.
He said that.
Yes.
But then that was all he said besides what happened. And I'm like, how do you know, Bob, what all happened, so Bob?
He's very knowledgeable in the sexual field.
Which makes
me
wonder how many conversations have been had between B and Bob.
We don't
about
know. We just know
things.
About this one situation.
So he's like, I need to go for a ride. And Bob's like, okay, cool.
Well, before that, he also tells him that, you know, he didn't have he didn't tell him this. Bob just go ahead and says it and said, you know, him and his wife don't have a great sexual relationship.
Yeah.
So that is to insist that they have had a couple conversations.
Yeah.
You know, probably man to man. And I'm sure this happens all over the world. Men to men, you know, it's like, I mean, man, you know.
All of us have, friends have conversations.
You know,
about
just
that
like,
kind
you
of
know,
stuff.
I'm just not, he's just not doing it for me. This ain't another, whatever. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah. So they get to riding down the road and B is all like, man, I can't stand my wife, and acting like all these things are going on between them. And he's so mad and frustrated. He's so sexually frustrated. And he tells the dad, said he was clearly sexually aroused and needed some relief.
And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what? It's so, about to happen.
So what he said was, so I continued to help him out in a masturbatory manner.
No, he said relieve him in an act of
relief
masturbation.
Him. That's it.
That's professional.
Oh. He's been coached. He's been coached on
okay.
that.
I mean, goodness.
Oh, my God. So now you got the mama bringing you sandwiches, the dad jerking you off in the car.
And then the dad, and I'm like, I do not feel sorry for you. I do not. He's sitting there crying. He's like, it's the worst thing I've ever done because I had broken the trust and the fidelity
of
my
marriage
with
my
wife.
And I'm like, first of all, Bob, clearly you've had sexual feelings for a man.
Something.
So.
Because I don't know.
If this was us and we were in a car together and you were like, I'm so frustrated, I'd be like, man, I'll buy you a vibrator. Like, no.
Whitney, I love you. I do. And I'll do anything for you. But I won't do
that.
Never. Oh, my God, no. Jesus.
There, oh, my God.
So you
no
just
way.
Okay. You just comfortable doing reach arounds. That's what you were doing?
Yes. Man.
You did that too comfortably.
So
I'm
now
sorry.
He has all kinds of blackmail between both parents.
So let me tell you this. We are only 22 minutes in to an hour and a half documentary.
And at that point,
all of this happens in 22 minutes.
I'm literally like, what else is coming?
Like, what other material do we have? Because this is a lot. Like, I could have a Maury show on this alone.
Yep.
Dr. Phil, come here. They need help.
It is so bad.
I mean, it's so much to unpack, y'all, for real. And you know, Jan Jay's parents allowed B to sleep in the bed with Jan. Listen, they knew this was happening. They allowed it to happen.
How this happened, because I took a detailed note on this because I'm like, this don't make sense. Okay, so he comes and during all this, the LDS church, some girl comes forward or he gets caught, something happened.
Right.
And they required him to mandatorily go to counseling because they didn't want to do the court thing. They were handling it in the church.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, you have to go see a counselor / therapist, whatever it was.
Right.
So this counselor tells him, there we go. Oh, he comes to the parents and he admits that he was molested by his aunt when he was 4 years old. And the therapist said that he needs to spend time alone with Jan at bedtime every night. And they let him.
He was like, well, we was just trusting it.
And it was 4 times a week for 6 months.
That is, I did the math. I don't know if you did the math, but I did the math. That is almost 100 times in 6 months.
Oh, my God. And see, what they had told ahead of that or after that, I don't remember. But he was like a carpenter, like a handyman. And her sister shared a room, and they kept talking about wanted.
Their rooms were in a basement. So you imagine a basement is wide open. It don't have any. Generally, most people don't have it finished off where it has individual rooms. So they're just all in this basement.
So he voluntarily, before all this happened, voluntarily went in and built a wall for Jan, like built it so she had her own space. Now we know why. Because he was planning to be alone with her in her room.
Right.
4 times a week for 6 months while playing these weird recordings that the therapist had recorded for him to play.
Right. Which they find out later was not a real...
he had lost his license.
Yeah, he had lost his license. He wasn't even real. Yeah. And it's just like, naive ain't even the word. I don't even know what to call this. I don't have the words. Webster has not created the word for this level of naiveness.
Yes.
They have not. It's just
shock, the absurdity, the naivety, the willing naivety. I got nothing.
Anyway.
Mm-mm-mm.
So now they go back to the story of the kidnapping. So, like I said, they had been missing for weeks. So Jan says she finally wakes up because she had been given those sleeping pills. She wakes up and she is in a motor home, and they're in Mexico. She doesn't know they're in Mexico, but they say that they're in Mexico, and she is like strapped down, but she could hear a alien-like voice, and she thinks she has been kidnapped by a UFO.
Okay. Because all she can remember is a big bright white light.
Right.
During some point when she woke up. Right. Woke up.
So I guess she was kind of in and out because of the pills. And so when she comes to again, she's not strapped anymore.
Yeah.
And she hears the aliens that have names, Zeta and Zethra.
Mm-hmm.
And they inform Jan that she was part alien and that her mother was her mother, but her father was not her actual father.
Yes.
That her actual father was an alien. And she drew a parallel as in Mary and Joseph. The Immaculate Conception and how Joseph wasn't Jesus's father. His father was in heaven. So they have a parallel there. So that's very easy for a 12-year-old to believe because you know, you've been in church
and been told
and you
that.
Know these things, and you kind of like, oh, this is
like Jesus,
Mary and Joseph, right? And so the aliens give her a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And the mission is that she has to have a baby before she's 16 or by the age,
by
of,
the
16,
age of 16 yeah.
to save the alien nation. And if she don't complete the mission, her sister Karen would be taken.
Yeah, and the other one would go blind or something along those lines.
That's later on down the road when they talk about that. But and then so the alien instructs her to go to the front of the motorhome, and there you will find your male companion. And the male companion is none other than Robert B. Birchtold.
Yep.
And he over there fake sleeping like he been, oh my God, what happened?
Yes. Oh my God. Like, yes.
Did you see the light too? Did they talk to you?
What did they tell you?
Did Zeta and Zeta talk to you? Because they talked to me and they said that we got a mission. And so that's what happened. They, long story short, he had sex with her. And he said that he didn't, like, fully insert. He did like an inch, you know, and he wanted to, you know, make sure that she wasn't uncomfortable so she could enjoy it too. And it's like, she's 12 years old. And you just raped this girl. Because she was like saying, you know, it wasn't like the violent rapes you hear about.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, so she's not even realizing that she's being raped. She's
12, so she don't realize.
She's thinking she's doing a mission that she's got to save the world.
Yeah.
You know. You know, and it's sad, man. And so also in the motorhome, he had books that were about sex and stuff like that.
Yes, right, like, after this, she's like, and then after we talked about what the aliens had told us, he went to the cabinet and pulled out these books. And they're like Kama Sutra books. And it's like, oh, yeah, these just happen to be here.
Right, yeah, just found those laying around. You know. So, day 35. She's been gone for 35 days at this point. And so B calls his brother and requests that he go to the parents and get a written permission to allow him to marry her, their 12-year-old daughter in the United States, so that the Mexican union that they had would be legal.
Yeah.
And Bob, Jan's dad, is irate at the mere thought of such an immoral act. I'm like, now you're irate?
Oh, my God.
Now you are
now
irate.
We're mad.
The 100 times that they have been sleeping in the same bed together for his therapy.
You're not
many
mad.
Times that he been with her alone, paying the special attention. Now you are right now. Yeah. This is the line because he wants to be married to her legally.
Yeah.
This is the line that this is too much.
Yeah.
Nope. Because his moral compass is working very well.
Suddenly.
I was like, the audacity of you to think it would be, it's like, come on.
That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I was ready to punch him in the face.
I know.
Both of them.
I know. I can't stand either of the parents.
I have 0 ounce of sympathy for them. I really do. I feel so sorry for Jan. She should have been, all three of them kids should have been removed from that house.
Yeah.
They really should have.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yep.
So eventually, B is arrested. And
the Mexican federales.
Yeah, the federales come in.
Came in.
Arrest him. They rescue her, but they put them both in like a prison. A
jail, yeah.
I guess waiting for, you know, the United States authorities to come or whatever happened.
Do whatever they
I think
do.
The parents actually went
the parents
went to
went
Mexico.
With them. Yeah.
So, but B made sure that he covered his tail and crossed all his T's, dotted all his I's, and gave her specific instructions and told her to not tell.
He bribed the guard with one of his gold rings.
Yeah, so he could talk to her.
So he could talk to her before the parents got there.
So he tells her that to tell nobody about what happened. Don't tell them about the aliens. I'm talking about anything. Yep. And if you don't do this, what's going to happen is your sister Karen is going to go blind. Your daddy going to be killed. And they're going to take Susan away, your other sister.
Yeah. So he told her, you can't tell anybody about the mission, about Zeta or Zethra.
Right.
If you get close to any other man besides me, these things will happen. Like, not even your dad. Don't hug him. Don't
whatever. No male contact at all.
No male contact.
So.
And she's terrified. So, of course, she's going to
follow. So, she doesn't say anything happened. They, like, go get her checked. Her hymen is in place because he didn't only put in but an inch. So, therefore, you know, they ain't no disruption in the system.
God,
so,
he thought about everything.
I mean, he did. He thought about it, like, anyway. So. And this is the other frustrating part of me. Like, so they take her to the doctor and they determine that, you know, her hymen is intact. And, you know, and so the mom was like, and we were just so relieved. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Are you that dumb?
Yeah.
To think this man was alone with her for 35 days by himself in a motorhome. You see what he did when y'all was in the same house.
Yeah, for real.
You think he just going to stay there and just watch her sleep?
Yeah.
The heck? Mm-mm. I tell you, naive ain't the word.
Nope.
And so he's indicted on kidnapping charges and then he's awaiting his pending trial. So
and the FBI tells this family, Stay away from him.
No contact.
Have no contact with his family or him.
Oh, but no, on Christmas Eve. So this happened in October. I think they got her back in like November. And so on Christmas Eve, Gail goes over to the Broberg family and has a conversation with Bob, the dad. And so the conversation, the gist of the conversation is, it's blackmail, basically. It's like, either you sign an affidavit saying that that B didn't take Jan, you know, you had permission, blase, blase. Either you do that, or we're going to let everybody know about your little sexual interaction with B in that car.
Uh-huh.
And you relieving him. So this is why I said that Gail knew.
Yeah.
Things were going on.
Yeah.
But she's being held hostage in her own home, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Something.
I don't know that for certain, but you can kind of fill in the missing pieces and figure out, like, she can't say anything.
Yeah.
Because something may happen.
And he probably has some kind of dirt on her. I mean, there's no telling.
Yeah, it's no telling, because I feel also bad if he can groom a couple that he just met in 2 years, imagine what he can do in 15 to 20 years when he's been married to somebody.
Yeah.
It's very easy for him to do it. And I mean, that's probably his test subject, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows how he can manipulate her. And so he knows how he could do that to other people.
Yeah.
So, of course, they sign the affidavit because nobody can ever know about B and Bob and what happened in that car or what has happened beyond that, because they don't elaborate. They just take this one instance. And so that kept him out of jail. And the
FBI was furious.
They were like, furious.
You just wasted our time.
You killed our case.
So now they couldn't do anything. So B is back out.
Yeah. So
he spent a little bit of time in jail, but not much.
Time goes by, and really nothing has changed between him and Jan. He still sneaks and sees her, and they write love letters to each other. And Jan believes that she still believes in this mission that she has to complete. So this is always in the back of her mind. She's got to complete the mission.
She's at school and kids are bringing her a note that he had given them to give to her.
Right.
Or leaving her a message that says to go to this payphone at this time and it'll ring and we can talk or whatever.
So the plot thickens, guys.
Oh, it keeps getting worse.
That's such a bad story. Get worse.
I know. It just keeps getting worse.
It gets worse. The mom, Mary Ann, starts having a sexual relationship with B. This is after
she starts an affair, an eight month affair
with a man that kidnapped your daughter for 35 days, blackmailed your husband for having a reach around situation in a car, has slept in the same bed with your child over 100 times. You were alarmed by his attention to Jan, annoyed you. He wanted to marry your 12-year-old daughter so he wouldn't get in trouble, and that made you irate. And you decide to take the same individual and have an 8-month sexual affair with him.
The words that I want to say.
I want,
knowing that during that affair that he has more access to her daughter than ever, because now he's spending more secret time in the house and around. And
right, he's like, you should leave your husband and this, that, and the third. And you know, the affair eventually ends, but it ends because B pretty much outs the situation. He tells Bob, hey, I'm having an affair with your wife.
Yeah,
she gonna leave you and this, that, and the third. And it's like,
and then her and the husband decide to stay together, right?
He threatens divorce. He like has her serve her papers. He's like, take the kids away from the house. Has her serve her papers. Yeah. And you know, and he's like, we just fell into each other's arms and we just didn't want to break up our family.
And we're like, how can this man come between us and all this stuff? And it's like, you let him.
You did. You let him in the house. He went in the room. You did it to your dad.
Where did the accent irate and turn into an Indian man. What are you doing? You're tired. You're
man,
very tired.
I'm tired of him. It's what I'm tired of, man. Man, they done frustrated me so bad.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand.
I don't either.
The process of how this happens. I don't know. I've been young and dumb. We all have.
There's no words.
There is so many red flags.
Yes.
Things don't just fester to this point. It's small things. Yeah. Him paying a little bit more attention to Jan. Him coming over every day after work.
Yes.
Before he go home to see his own kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Him wanting to be alone with her.
Like, whether Jan said anything.
Him wanting to marry her.
Yes. That, oh my God.
Come on!
Whether Jan said anything or not, it was obvious what was going on.
Yeah. The responsibility is not on Jan. She's a child. She's traumatized. She's got these things in her head. She don't know that they're not true. But because she cares and loves her family, she knows she has to do this in order to protect Karen, to protect her dad, to protect her sister Susan. Yeah. Okay, so the fault is not on her. I ain't mad at her at all.
No, she was
for how, whatever she did, however she reacted. She's a child that was put in an adult situation at early of an age that she did not understand.
Yeah.
What was going on. She was being manipulated by an adult that knew better and knew what he was doing. And since she had two whack-ass parents that didn't protect their child.
Mm-hmm.
And put her in these situations.
Yeah. Oh, it got
because
worse.
I don't care how many times you jump up the screen. You're not going horseback riding with this man and his kids and his yep. family is not with him.
Yep.
And I ain't with you neither.
Yep. You're oh, and going. In the middle of all this, in the first like 30 minutes or so, it shows another neighbor. And this is the only time that he's on screen. Mm-hmm. It shows another neighbor. And he says that they went boating with B mm-hmm. and Jan.
Right.
Not his wife, not his kids, just him. And Jan went with this couple boating, like they're a couple.
That's
and
crazy.
And that all and he's an old man now, but he was saying he's like after that day, he said we never hung out with them again because he said
right
because
everybody else saw the red flags.
Yeah, because he was like something's not right here. This is not normal. This should not be like this. And so they quit having contact with the Birchtold dude at all.
So the affair ends, and B moves to Wyoming for whatever reason. And he opens up a family fun center.
Whoop, whoop.
Little girls everywhere.
Yep.
Why? You have to go get them, bring them to you.
Yep. If you build it, they will come.
Right. So now Jan wants to go to Wyoming. So you got to understand, she's 12 years old.
She's probably 13 at this point.
Yeah, she may be 13
but
at this point.
But still, she's getting closer to 16 and she's freaking out.
She's traumatized.
She has to complete this mission.
She's still under this man's thumb. He's grooming her. He's telling her that he loves her. And they're having conversations about being married and being together. Mm-hmm. So she's in this. She's having a love story. She's never experienced love. You know what I'm saying? So this is like her first introduction to love. And it's morbid as hell.
Yeah.
And so she's infatuated with all of this. You know, and she still has this mission. And she thinks she doesn't know that this is wrong.
She thinks they are supposed to be together.
Yeah, this is.
So, of course,
yeah.
She's going to do like any teenager.
Yeah, so she's kicking and screaming and wants to go. And the parents is like, no, you're not going. She begs and pleads. And you know what her
effing mother.
Mama does.
I want to punch that old lady in the face.
Gets a plane ticket and puts her on a plane to Wyoming.
And sends her
to
spend a few weeks with him.
To spend a few weeks with her abductor.
What a dumbass. She serves her up on a gold plate. Here she is.
Here, let me get this for you.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me get that for you.
Yeah, here. There you go.
Drink of it. Okay, you done? Okay, thank you. I'll take
it. Cool. All right. Cool. And they're like, well, if we didn't send her, she was going to run away. She was threatening to run away.
Well, here's the thing.
lock her down.
B calls her and says, oh my God, look, Jan wants to come. And if you don't let her, she's gonna hitchhike and she's gonna be out there on the highway. And you don't want her on the highway like that. Then she puts on the plane. Quit answering the phone. That's my thing. It's like, yes, why y'all keep answering the man calls?
Hang up on
block
the
block his tail. Change your number.
I swear.
Come on, guys.
He had control.
He ain't living next door no more.
Yeah.
He in a whole nother state.
He had
change
a
your number.
Hold
block it
on everybody in that household.
Why you keep, I don't know if caller ID was around, but if it was, that's even more of a reason
it was
why this should never happen.
It was not.
But if it was, it's like this. Answer the phone. You've been fooled by telemarketers before. Yeah. You see a number, that looks familiar. Let me pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can hear that, okay, this ain't, you click.
This is Bob. Click.
Look, guys. Look. Click.
It's that simple.
Hello? Hey, this big... click. Hello? This big... click.
Exactly.
See? It's just easy. See?
Exactly.
Grab it off because it's probably off the wall at this point. Off the wall with that long cord.
Yeah.
Hello?
Ching.
Who was that? Nobody.
That's what I don't understand. Change your number. Move. Why not move?
You ain't got to move. You ain't even got to be that drastic. Because he had a business there. So I understand moving may not be in the
car. Well, I'm talking about like move to another house so he don't know where you live.
That's true.
Have your number unlisted.
But the easiest
like,
thing is just to
anything.
Change your number. He ain't in the state.
Yeah.
It's he ain't so in stupid. Idaho no more. He is in Wyoming.
Did his wife move up there with him? I think it was just him. I can't remember. I think it was
don't
just him.
Remember. I don't remember that.
I'm pretty sure.
It might have been just him. Which
I'm pretty sure it was just
him.
For
the red flags.
Even though he was married. Still.
That's crazy. Anyway, so she spends 2 weeks. We've been talking about this.
I know. It's
long, so long. But I'm sorry, guys.
We're going to have to hit the high points.
It is so much to talk about. So anyway, so she stays there for 2 weeks. They sit her back home. She didn't want to go home. And she's different. She's different. And she's being, you know, fighting with her sisters and just being a totally different child, like a just unruly teenager. And
well, she's angry because that 16-year-old marker is getting closer and closer and closer. Yeah. And if she's physically that far away from him, she can't complete her mission.
Right.
So in her head, she's trying to save everybody. She's trying to protect everybody.
So August of 1976, she is now left for the second time. And disappears.
Yeah.
Okay. So her parents don't know where she is. B calls and claims he talked
he's
to Jan.
Pretending.
And he don't know where she's at. And he's concerned. And he's worried about her. And this, that, and the third. So he just keeps, that's what I'm saying. Change the number. Don't pick up the phone. He calls them constantly for 3 months after she's been gone.
At this point, they've already got the FBI involved.
The FBI has a wiretap and he's constantly calling, just calling and calling. Yep. Have you heard from, I talked to Jan today. And yeah, I think she's doing something she don't want to tell me about. And I'm just, if anything ever happened to her, and just on and on. Y'all just doing this mental, excuse my language, mind fuck.
Yeah.
to them.
Yep.
Over and over and over and over again. And
they're like, we have a feeling he knew where she was, but he just wasn't telling us. And
right.
That's why the FBI was tapping the phones trying to see if there was
and
any way.
And so B, a part of me thinks that at first he may didn't know where she was, or he was just kind of keeping his distance to figure out before he actually made contact with her. But anyway, he finally, he eventually takes her to California and enrolls her into a Catholic school under a false name and tells the nuns that he's her father and that he's a CIA agent and they're on the run from Lebanon.
Oh my God.
Just in case somebody comes looking for her, don't tell them nothing because I'm a CIA agent. They looking for us.
Yeah, they're going to kill us.
So at this point, she's been missing and gone for 102 days.
Mm-mm.
And the FBI finally finds them and he's arrested for the second time for the second kidnapping and he's charged and arraigned on first degree kidnapping and he was acquitted of all charges. And it's because of her parents. Because he has this dirt on them and they cannot let them air it out to get the justice that their daughter deserved. This man needed to be in jail. He shouldn't even made it to do this twice.
Mm-mm.
It shouldn't happen twice.
Mm-mm.
Lightning don't strike in the same place twice unless you freaking let it.
Yeah.
And that's what they allowed. They allowed this to happen.
Yes.
They allowed this to happen. I don't care. All this. I didn't know.
All of it.
We didn't know it was called pedophile. You allowed this to happen. Yep. You invited this into your house.
Yes.
And let him sleep beside your 12-year-old daughter.
And this whole time I'm watching this, I'm thinking, why is this a show? Why are we airing all this out now? What is the point of this? I would be humiliated. Why are you admitting this to the world? And then you find out at the very end.
Yeah,
what the, mom, the whole point of this
the
is.
Mom wrote a book about the mom this whole
wrote a book,
situation.
The daughter wrote
she's
a book.
So proud of her damn self.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have never. And I, if it's part of a healing for Jan, kudos. All for it.
Do what she needs to do. She
but
wrote
your
a book.
Dumb ass.
Yeah.
Didn't need to write shit, but a damn.
An apology letter.
Apology letter for being an inadequate parent.
Yes.
And allowing a pedophile, a predator.
Yes.
Inside your home. Not only that, not only did you that, you danced with the devil too. You had an 8-month affair.
Yep.
With
him. Yep.
It's ridiculous.
It's messed up. So the whole, this whole so, thing you find out is just publicity for this freaking book or and, books rather. And they're going on speaking tours
and
motivational stuff
and
B
got upset about it. And so like, they're all telling lies about me, of course.
Didn't
you know?
He took her to court at some
he
point.
He took her to court because.
While she's an adult.
And so because it was. She wanted a restraining order against him, you know, a stalking restraining order. And it's usually, I forgot what they said, 3 years, but they actually got it. And but he got it for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And so Jan is saying that over the period of time between the first and the second kidnapping and all the times that they spent alone, that they had at least over 200 times they've had at least sexual contact.
Yeah.
This is a very small window, by the way.
Man.
We talking from 12 years old
to about
16. About 15.
Not even 15. 16.
Not even quite 16 yet. 3 years. Mm-hmm. Over 200 times.
Oh, my God. These parents. Oh, my God. These parents. Oh, my God.
They actually should have been charged.
Yes.
With whatever he got off with.
Hell, they were accomplices.
At this point, yes. Because you let it happen
they
twice.
They just kept handing
it to him. You let it happen. You don't come forward in a reasonable manner. You wait 2 weeks. You wait 2 days to say something because you're embarrassed at your inadequacy of parenting.
Yeah.
Basically what it comes down to.
Yeah. It's
you're embarrassed that this has happened twice. So you wait 2 weeks this time.
Yeah.
To tell somebody, hey, my baby gone again.
It's the most ridiculous thing. The whole time I'm just watching it and it's like, that is insane. Oh my God, that's more. Did it just become an alien abduction? What the hell is going on?
It's like, I'm in such disbelief that this
Oh my
happened.
God. Oh.
It's just unfathomable that something like this could happen twice.
So y'all need to go watch it.
Ultimately,
since we've given you the whole play,
right? It's still worth the watch because you
it
need
is.
To hear from their words, and see their faces,
oh, so
and how tore up they are, and how delightful she'd like to talk about
then,
her little
look,
affair.
As you watch it, I want comments under our podcast. As you watch, I want all the reactions.
I want all the reaction. And so ultimately, Birch told committed suicide, but he
brother.
Only committed suicide. He only committed suicide. After he was found guilty of 3 felonies and 2 misdemeanors of an unrelated crime of the kidnappings. He was arrested and found guilty of these charges because there were a biker club that formed as a ally or advocacy for children of child abuse. And so they was all out at they were basically security for her like book tour.
Yeah.
And they were out and Mr. Birchtold came through and ran over
one of
the bikers.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I think he may have killed one or two. I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
But anyway, he was convicted, found guilty of 3 felonies and 2 misdemeanors. And he was supposed to come back for sentencing and he was like, I ain't doing it a day of prison.
You know what they do to pedophiles in prison, and then he killed himself. And this is where his brother's commentary came in again, where he's like, yep, he said he wasn't going to prison.
Yeah, it's like, he's the only person with some freaking sense.
Yes.
Outside of the FBI.
And he's out here like, I don't know what y'all are doing. I've seen this from the beginning. Y'all are a bunch of idiots.
He was always going in like this. You need to tell them, because he ain't knowing. They is not hearing.
He's so realistic and just kind of like, well.
He's just blunt and straight to the free point. He cut no corners with them. He probably got something to say about them, but they didn't tell it.
Yeah, they probably cut that part out.
It's like, I'm like, oh my gosh. And y'all, and this is just an hour and a half of the story. And there's no telling the things that they didn't say that's in the book.
Yeah.
There is probably but so many. But you know what?
I'm not supporting the mama by buying that book, so it's forever going to go unknown.
And so, and then also, like, as when she turned 16, she becomes more forthcoming about what happened.
Yeah.
And it was talking about, you know, it took her so long to say what could have been said in 15 minutes, which is understandable. And they were like, we just couldn't believe that those things happened. I want to throat punch you.
Yeah. We had no idea. I feel sorry for her sisters, too.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those deals where their childhood gets ripped away because of their sister, because all the attention is on Jan's missing this and that. And they're just like, they don't get to live a normal life either. So the whole thing is just messed up. The whole thing.
It's my
no words and all the words at the same time.
No words. And I know we just unpacked my whole bunch right here.
We did.
But y'all need to go watch this. I know we told you a lot of it.
There's still a whole lot that
we didn't. There's some bits and pieces of things that we didn't go into, but we kind of gave you the gist of the whole thing, but it's still worth the watch because you're just gonna be in such disbelief of something like this actually happening and being like, I'm all for a true story. I love true stories or documentaries about things, but this one right here take the cake for me. took the cake for me. I've never been so frustrated and so angry.
Yes. Like I said, I'm not usually the type to be like yelling at the TV.
Oh, I was yelling. I was like, are you kidding me? TV. Are you a second time?
I know.
8 months? Are you kidding me?
I had to turn it off for a little while because I was just so mad.
And I just shaking my head walking around. I know. What the heck?
I'm glad I wasn't the only one. It's absurd. Oh, it is ridiculous. It is every word in the dictionary. It's all the words.
And on that note, that's a wrap, guys. That's it for this episode. I ain't got nothing else to say. I just don't. I ain't got nothing else to say. You got something else that you need to get off your chest?
I don't know. I'm sorry this wasn't as funny of an episode, but this has been eating it. We have told everybody that we know about this and to watch
it. It's probably funny because of my reactions, because I'm just so done with it. So done with it.
It is just beyond.
If I saw them in the street, I swear to God. Just watch them right in the face.
Neither one of us are violent people. But man, if I see that old man, I'm knocking that cane out from under him.
Okay. Thank you. You're going to need a hip replacement when I get done with
you. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Hope you enjoyed this episode.
Hope you had a good time.
Hope it was fun for you.
That's a wrap.
We appreciate y'all tuning in and, you know, we'll see you next time and, you know, hopefully it means something better and not as drawn out as this was. Thanks for tuning in and remember, life's too short
to only hoot
and never holler.
Holler y'all.